In the name of Jesus, amen. When I became a Christian, my life got better, the sales pitch goes. Then good for you, I say, because that kind of thing usually doesn't happen when the one who is the Word in the waters of holy baptism draws a cross upon your forehead and above your heart and marks you as one of his own. At that point, the devil, who really is and is really your enemy, is hell-bent on destroying you and wiping out your faith in the God who has called you to life in Christ Jesus. That's the terrible truth that our brothers and sisters being persecuted and martyred in Iraq and elsewhere in this world know all too well. Their lives would go better if they weren't Christians, at least for the duration of this life. So rather than expect that your life will get better and better day by day, expect in a very real sense the opposite. Expect to be tempted. Expect to be tried. Expect to be persecuted. Expect that the one who is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour has his eyes on you. There are times, as a Christian, you will have to contend with the devil. And there are times when you will go through something even worse. Worse than Satan, you say? How? What? Who? Worse than the devil is God. After you have come to Jesus, there are going to be times when you're going to get the cold shoulder from God. There are times that you are going to pray and there will be nothing but silence in return. A silence the enemy will break when he whispers into your ear, "See, I told you. Your God's an illusion, a Dawkins delusion. There's no great deity out there who hears your prayer. And if there was, who are you that he would listen to you?" And you have personal knowledge of times like that, don't you? Something's gone wrong, terribly wrong. Someone's gotten sick. A terror has struck. Or it doesn't have to be anything near that bad. And you pray and nothing. Our gospel lesson today tells us, don't be surprised if this kind of thing happens to you. Oftentimes, prayer is a struggle. And like Jacob at the Jabbok Brook, after a dark and dreadful bout of prayer to God, we walk away from that praying with a limp. We cry out like the woman in today's gospel, and you have, haven't you? And nothing. Silence. And we feel ignored, slighted, even badly insulted. And then what? If God gives you the cold shoulder after a while, what happens? We return God the favor. Today's gospel tells us, don't give in to those despairing thoughts. Listen to this lady from Canaan and follow her example instead. She came to Jesus, this woman did, but rather than sound like a pagan Canaanite, the ancestor of a person who had, the ancestor of a people who had no problem sacrificing their young on Baal's altar for personal gain. And they aren't the only people, by the way, who sacrifice the lives of babies for personal gain, for our nation has sacrificed many more than the Canaanites ever did. This woman, Canaanite woman, cried out like a believing Israelite. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Now, was she trying to trick Jesus, deceive him? If I call him Lord and son of David, he won't figure out who I am? I don't think so. She knew who he was. He was Israel's Messiah, Israel's Savior. And she was a Canaanite. And as a Canaanite, she knew something else as well. She could lay no claim to Jesus. And worse than having no claim, she also knew that Israelites and Canaanites didn't exactly have the kindest of history with each other. Think Israel and Hamas today. Ancient Israel's disobedience was responsible for the fact that there was even a Canaanite in existence for Jesus to have a conversation with. And the Canaanites were responsible for leading Israel far astray from the one true God. She had no claim on Jesus, but she was also desperate for her daughter. And mercy is what you cry for when you're desperate and you have no claim. One of Satan's gang had grabbed hold of this poor woman's daughter like a mad dog. And it wasn't letting go. How that damned demon demonstrated its presence, we're not told, other than the fact that it severely oppressed this poor little girl. And we can only imagine how this spawn of Satan abused her. So undeterred by her lack of claims, and moved by her love for her daughter, this poor woman runs to Jesus, who has just come to where she lives, and pleads, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." But how does the Lord, the son of David, treat her prayer? He did not answer her a word. He gave her the cold shoulder. Even the disciples were shocked. They came and they begged Jesus, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." Now, just a side note here, lest you think ill of the disciples. Send her away doesn't mean, "Jesus, can't you just get rid of her?" How do we know? Well, before all of this happened, the disciples, looking out over a crowd of thousands, knowing that they were hungry and knowing that they could not provide food for so many people, compassionately cried, "Jesus, send the crowds away to the towns and villages so that they can eat. Otherwise, they'll hang around here and they'll starve. Have some compassion on the crowds, Jesus." So when the disciples say, "Send her away," they're crying, "Dear Jesus, do something. Do what you did for the crowd of thousands. Provide for her needs and send her away." Besides, her cry is annoying, her daughter rather disturbing, and what will people think if they see a Canaanite woman hanging around with us? But even their prayer for her goes unanswered. He simply tells them mercilessly, within earshot of her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But amazingly, astonishingly, she persists all the more. This Canaanite woman wasn't trying to trick Jesus. She was truly a woman of faith, someone just like you, which makes Jesus' response all the worse. She knew that no one could pull wool over Jesus' eyes. But does she give up? No. She falls down before him and insists, "Lord, help me." Then, worse than a cold shoulder, Jesus speaks. "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, woman." He doesn't just tell her that she's not one of the chosen people. He calls her a dog, unworthy of the bread he was sent to give his people. Words like that would demoralize anyone. turn even the toughest skinned disciple away in disgust. So did she finally give up? Not at all. And here's where we see her faith. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Yes, Lord, you're absolutely right. It wouldn't be good if I thought that I should get what by right belongs to the children of Israel. You are Israel's Messiah, and the bread you give belongs to the children to whom it was promised. With all of that, I agree. I have no claim on you at all. All I know is that if my daughter and I hang around the table, when your children eat, crumbs are going to fall and the dogs will get to eat as well. The bread of the Messiah, you see, is so abundant, so overflowing, so abounding, that when your children eat, some of it's going to fall to the floor. And Jesus, crumbs are enough for us. We don't need anything more than that. This Canaanite woman believed in Jesus' mission to Israel's lost sheep. But she also knew that what Jesus has come to do would have blessed ramifications for her and her daughter, to say nothing of the rest of the world. We have so much to learn from this Canaanite woman. See how she wrestled with our Lord. Well before her ancestors had occupied the land, Jesus' ancestor Jacob did some wrestling of his own with the Lord, ironically, at the Jabbok Brook, not more than 70 miles south of here. Jacob said to the angel of the Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. And that's what this Canaanite woman was saying to Jesus. I will not let you go until you bless me. Like the Roman centurion who came to Jesus before her and the thief on the cross who would come after her, she knew that she had no claims on Jesus, no rights, no favors owed to her. She knew who he was. She knew that he was Israel's Messiah, Israel's Savior, and she simply threw herself on his mercy and his kindness and wouldn't let go of him until he blessed her. And she wasn't disappointed. Oh, woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Learn from this Canaanite woman. When you pray, come to Jesus and bring your request to him. Don't worry about how to word your prayers. Prayer isn't a matter of eloquence, as if God won't listen to if you don't pray like a pastor or craft your prayers in King James English. Don't even concern yourself if you can't finish a sentence or even know what to say, for that matter. In your anguish, praying the words, "Dear Father, you know," just might be the most articulate prayer ever prayed. Besides, the Holy Spirit will finish your prayer off for you. Don't let the enemy lead you to believe that you need to chat God up and snow him as if you were a salesperson trying to bamboozle an unwilling customer. God doesn't listen to us because we're good prayers. He hears us for the sake of his Son, because his living word has spoken our sins into nothing. And if you think you're getting the cold shoulder or an unattentive ear, believe this instead. Even what seems like cold silence, even in that, the ear of his mercy still hears even your faintest sighs. It just might be that his apparent cold shoulder is his way of teaching us to not rely on ourselves and on our feelings and on how we think things should go in this life. His silence teaches us to trust him. After all, if we could see God jump into action at our whim all the time, that wouldn't be faith. Faith teaches us to trust him and his mercy regardless of what we see. Don't worry about trying to justify yourself to him because really, you can't. So just tell him, like the Canaanite woman did, own up to the fact that you really don't have any claim on him, but don't let that stop your pleading. If he seems to give you the cold shoulder, bring your request again. If he seems to turn his back on you, don't believe it, not for a second. Hold on to him tightly and don't let him go. Wrestle through all of that. He's listening. And think on this. This Canaanite woman didn't know the whole story like you do. You know that though you can lay no claim on him, in the waters of holy baptism, he laid claim to you. Named you as his dear child, he did. And just like you don't forget your kids, he doesn't forget his either. You know that you know where his love landed him, carrying your sin. You know how, though it seemed like he didn't, you know how his Father heard his prayer from the cross and raised him from the dead. And that's what he's going to do for you too. Raise you from this veil of tears to a life that knows no sin, no sadness, no pain, no suffering, no disease, no persecution, no demons, and no end either. And in the meantime, with his crumbs, he feeds us. Every time we share the Lord's Supper, eating the crumbs from his table, he strengthens our confidence in him that he really can be trusted. Even if he's rather quiet sometimes, he can be trusted to absolutely not deny or forsake you in the end, no matter what you might be going through right now. So stick to Jesus and keep praying and asking no matter what. The tribulation that you experience and God's so-called cold shoulder is tribulation. That tribulation will provide perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And that hope will not disappoint. About that, he wasn't silent. In the name of Jesus, amen.